Good evening and welcome to our Good Friday service. We have a special presentation of Waiting at the Station, following the biblical stations of the cross. Today we remember Christ dying in our place and how heaven and earth were moved that day, those hours. Please join me in prayer. Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, be among us as we take to heart this journey along several way stations to the cross that your Son, our Savior, took on our behalf. Draw us to a deeper appreciation for what he has done and a greater devotion to your mission, your kingdom. Holy Spirit, teach us the wonder of what happened that night and day. For Jesus' sake, amen. I mentioned a little earlier, we're going to not have a lot that is for you in the congregation to do other than really focus on the words and music and art that will be presented tonight. But we did want to have an opportunity of participation, so we're going to ask you to join us for a verse of Old Rugged Cross, which is number 484, if you're not familiar with it. It's number 484 in your red hymnal there. And we'll sing one verse now, and then just the first verse, and then at the very end we'll sing the last verse.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love
Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little further, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So you could not stay awake with me 1 hour? "Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak."
We all live in the periphery of the clueless disconnect of Gethsemane. We can blame circumstance, ignorance, even a stomach full of food and wine. But in the end, we really don't get it. Don't even remotely understand the larger love of the Son's obedience of his Father.
Nobody told me they were coming to get him, planning to take him in. Nothing unusual at supper that evening. The wine was flowing. I suppose he seemed a little different. If I think about it some, but when was he not just a little different since this whole thing had begun? So we went out for a walk after dinner up to his favorite spot. All that talk about a betrayer I had all but forgot. Even when he went off by himself, no way I would have known. Half the time you could never tell if he wanted company or to be left alone. Jimmy said he heard him praying, lying there on the ground. He didn't get all that he was saying, but he sure enough seemed down. You wanna say something, but you don't know if you should. You wanna do something, but you don't. You tell yourself you'd be there if you could, but when the time comes, you won't. Daddy, I don't want to do this, but it's your call, not mine. Guess if I must go through this, there's probably no better time. Yeah, after a while, I dozed off. It's after midnight. Been a long day. We're all kind of sleepy with the wine and the walk. What can I say? When I woke up, someone was yelling. The place was crawling with thugs. Pete pulled his blade, started cutting. The night got drowsy and drugged. Daddy, I don't want to do this, but it's your call, not mine. Guess if I must go through this, there's probably no better time.
Immediately, While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. And with him there was a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him. Lead him away under guard." So when he came, he went up to him at once and said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. Then they laid hands on him and arrested him.
To betray a friend implies there was a friendship to betray. What was that friendship built on? What winsome, laugh-filled confidence shared over the years made Judas's kiss in the garden that night all the more heartbreaking and such a horrible surprise to the others?
Thing is, for the longest time, I was even kinda envious about the way those two were inclined to laugh things off and pile around. It made me jealous. See, Jay, I never paid much mind to how folks round the man got so precious. Didn't go for wonders and signs. He saw the man as just a man who came to bless us. Just a man, just the son of a man. We fall, we stand together. Just a man, just the son of man. No one understands like a betrayer. But then something tripped in his mind as things got tight and dangerous. Dark did battle with divine, and in that garden grove it came after us. Friendship was the crime. The closeness made it all more vicious. But there he was at the front of the line, this former friend, now so suspicious. Just a man betrayed the son of man, traded an open hand for a fist. Son of man said to the traitor man, "I know, my friend," with a kiss. Thank you.
When day came, the assembly of the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, gathered together, and they brought him to their council. They said, "If you are the Messiah, tell us." He replied, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I question you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God." All of them asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" He said to them, "You say that I am." Then they said, "What further testimony do we need? We have heard it ourselves from his own lips."
Most of us have faced a loaded question where the truth is irrelevant, and any answer we give is seen as nothing more than incriminating evidence for the prosecution's agenda. The glory here, disguised in such devious deceptions, is that Jesus wrangles the actual truth from the mouths of those who condemn him. "Are you then the Son of God? You say that I am."
Say who you are and be done with it. If I do, you won't believe it's true. And if I question you, you'll have none of it. Look, are you the one who is to come? The Maker's Son who made the sun and moon? Then the man, the Son of Man, said, "You say that I am." And he was doomed. Need nothing more than this. You've heard the man confess from his very lips and lying breath. Send his accusers home, the indicting words his own. This blasphemy alone will bring his death. Now the Son of Man sit at the right hand with the power and command of God in heaven. By a fire's light, as fear filled up the night, a friend in fright denied.
Now Peter was sitting outside in a courtyard. A servant girl came to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before all of them, saying, "I do not know what you are talking about." When he went out to the porch, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." Again, he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you are also one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to curse, and he swore an oath, "I do not know the man." At that moment, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly.
Could Peter's public denial have had a private face? Most loud lies whisper of interior fictions. The rationale of an ego in panic until the cock crows.
I should keep a low profile. Very stealth, very out of the way. What good would it do if they pulled me into? Best to hide from view and see how it goes. Wasn't wrong, that first denial. 'Cause you can never tell what folks are gonna say. Sabotage my plans to be there for the man. Undercover, you understand, incognito. Kept quiet round the fire instead of whispering and looking my way. I wouldn't have been for the second time a liar. Hey, look, I don't know the man. Okay. Let the anger melt, but they kept backing away. You're his hometown friend, it's clear. Your accent comes from there. I'd had enough and custom there as the cock. Me, the world of my deceit crumbled to debris, lay there at his feet. Every word I said, every empty claim was a wound that bled, sorrow and such shame.
As soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered them, "You say so." Then the chief priests accused him of many things. And Pilate asked him again, "Have you no answer? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them. And after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified.
Pilate chooses the most expedient solution to put an end to the crisis. But when dealing with this man of sorrow, out of sight is never out of mind. Perhaps in his heart, this ruler knows he is but a pawn to folly, while his wife's dream holds the deeper truth.
Something else was with that crowd. Something wasn't right. He spoke his troubled thoughts out loud while sitting with his wife. They said his plan was to revolt and make himself a king, but nothing in the words he spoke breathed an uprising. I felt as if I was a pawn played into their plan, a tool their law had latched upon to execute the man. Crucify him, crucify him. Why? I asked why. As that question silenced him, his wife began to cry. Whispered, "I know why," as her dream returned in part. I saw such a truth within his eyes, it broke my broken heart. Every lie that's ever lived hid within our pride would be seen were he to live. So of course he must die. nothing I could do, nothing to be gained. So I let them have the fool. I will not take the blame.
Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. And the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they dressed him in a purple robe. They kept coming up to him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and striking him on the face.
Imagine a play where a convicted criminal is the hero, where the instruments of his torture propagate atonement, where royalty is identified with defeat and suffering is the salve of salvation. Imagine, oh my, such a thorny solution.
That grows in Palestine, born, known for its smooth, stony grave. But its true worth, God knows, are the sharp, cruel thorns that brought our dear Savior such pain. A sad, was beaten and bled, dressed in a robe of red-purple hue. A crown of plaited thorns were placed on his head. They jeered, "Hail, King of the Jews." But what they mocked was true and cannot be erased. This king will reign forever. Gentile and Jew, come under his grace. Every longing by such royalty. The wounds of our sin, red jewels flowing down, branches from the honey locust tree. But its true worth, God knows, are the sharp, cruel thorns that brought our dear Savior such pain.
When the chief priests and the police saw him, they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him. I find no case against him." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" And Pilate asked them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but the emperor." Then he handed him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus. And carrying the cross by himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha.
Hidden in plain sight, woven into the common weave, disguised as a trinket, ubiquitously present in the negative space of life, it waits until a soul wound so deep in the heart's marrow can find no other symbol to express the loss and grief. And finally, the oldest riddle is solved.
I saw one in the shadow, a lonely streetlight cast. I saw one in the middle of a tall ship sailing past. I saw one in the photo of a leafy forest glen. I saw one on the logo, an ambulance coming in. I saw one at the wreck of a fatal highway crash. I saw one round the neck of a teller counting cash. I saw one in the tattoo of a nurse who was on call. I saw one above the statue on the desk against the wall. I saw summer. above a city where it stood. Oh, I found one in two blades of grass, pressed between a blade. I found one in the stained glass from a gone by age. I saw one on a beech tree, etched upon its bark. You know, I saw one in a nursery, glowing in the dark. Oh, I saw one palm leaf ash on a forehead at the start of Lent. I saw one formed as a sinner asked in sign language to repent. I saw one on a graveyard hill that overlooks the town. I saw one above a door lantern in the oil of blessing found. For centuries of sight and sound, ragged thought remains one symbol can be found that speaks to every name. For love and hope, oh, the night falls too soon because this world lost. Until that high and holy noon when Jesus bared the cross.
They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus.
Looking through the lens of a grandchild's love, what can we see of a man who helped God? An icon, perhaps? for all our flawed attempts at service? What can we truly understand about our usefulness to the Almighty, save in the heaven sight of an old man's dream?
Grandpa was a big man, stood a foot taller than anyone else. Grandpa had such big hands, they were way bigger than anyone else around. That's why they pulled him from the crowd, couldn't refuse, it was not allowed. The best one for the job is how they put it to him. They needed someone who was strong enough to carry someone else's stuff. The going could get mighty rough. Jesus was a good man with a big plan to turn things around. He spoke, it was no joke, but the sad folks took him down. Brought him in on an empty charge, condemned him in the beat of a heart, took him out to start the execution. That's when my grandpa came, Simon, they knew his name, help him with the cross, he did not complain. Grandpa said he did what they wanted. Pa said he never was the same. Sat in that room so brokenhearted. Grandpa, what's wrong? Won't explain. Grandpa, for he passed on, told my uncle what he had just seen. Rufus said, my grandpa, I saw Jesus last night in a dream, a dream. He looked right into my eyes the way he did the day he died. Oh, my surprise, he started smiling, and then he said, thank you, Si, all I could do was cry, to think someone as plain as I could help him. The next day, around noon, he died. Same hour he picked up that cross, back in Cyrene where he now lies. They tell his story to the lost.
When they came to the place that is called the skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots to divide his clothing.
At the center of history sings out a simple song. The voice of a child carries its truth. Search no farther than the orbits of this oath. life everlasting abides in the liberation of forgiveness.
I am a murderer, walking up this lonely hill. What have I done? No, I don't remember, and no one knows just how I feel. And I know that my time is coming soon. It's been so long, oh, such a long time, since I've lived with peace and rest. Now I am here, and my destination, well, I guess things work for the best. And I know that my time is coming soon. Well, who is this man? This man beside me, yeah, they call the King of the Jews. No, they don't believe that he's the Messiah. But somehow I know that it's true. They laugh at him in mockery. They beat him till he bleeds. They nail him to the rugged cross, and they raise him. Yeah, they raise him next to me. Yeah. Oh. Oh. My time has come, and I'm slowly fading. But I deserve what I receive. Jesus, will you, when in your kingdom, could you please, please remember me? Oh, and he looks at me still holding on. The tears fall from his eyes. He says, I tell the truth. Today, yes, you will live with me in paradise. Oh, yes, and I know that my time, yes, my time is coming soon. Oh, yes, and I then my time, yes, my time is coming soon. Oh, yes, and I know paradise, paradise is coming soon. Oh, yeah.
One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation. And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He replied, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise.
What we've always known, but vehemently denied, is exposed as death approaches. Every cheap razzle-dazzle, every cowardly cover-up, every lame justification touted as virtue, all hang like rags on the sorry soul. But wait. Confessed, these rags are also the garments of grace.
From your tree, forgotten, rotten haunt of bees, tomb of worms and withered seeds, this spoiled fruit turned compost. Please remember me when you go back to heaven and open wide the crack within to let this bad guy gimped in his sin, stained in his own pride, fumble. Forgive what I do and sing a song once my heart knew and tell a tale that's far from through of how a soul so scarred is now renewed. Remember me when you come, redeem the shifty life I've run, with all the sleights of hand I've done, and restored the awe that I turned away from, O Son of God and Son of Man. Remember me when you come into the holy land that waits for you, and bring back the wondrous news that it was death you finally slew, and there blessed this criminal too. Remember me when you come into your father's home, swing wide your father's door, lighting up the room you prepared for the likes of me. A two-bit thief for sure, a scoundrel seed, whose gift of grief you bore. Jesus, remember me when you come. come into your kingdom.
It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. While the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, crying in a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said, "Certainly, this man was innocent."
Innocent is easy to spot. Just look for what you're not. Blood to wine, the cosmic swap. Innocent is easy to spot.
So Son of God and man, the servant king.
When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. So Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn in the rock. He then rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and went away.
Bless you. At the goodbye gate, one last wave, as the day clothes of flesh and bone are folded up and packed away in the bureau of earth. Was, is, and will be. Overwhelmed by the exhaustion of sad.
It's the last thing you do for a friend. The last hope you have is that the suffering's done. The pain is now past and some peace has begun. The groan and the gasp with death finally shunned. It's the last hope you have for a loved one. The broken heart needs a job to distract, a task while it bleeds, to cork up the cracks. What's too hard to believe is disguised in the fact of a dead man in sheets in a tomb on his back. The last prayer you pray is that it wasn't in vain, that somehow, some way, you'll make sense of this pain. On some other day, love will be reclaimed. It's the last prayer you pray in the rain.
Let's remain seated as we join in the last verse of the old rugged cross.
my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Go in peace.